One morning when I was in seminary, I got up and went through my typical routine, walked all the way down the long hall, had the room furthest away from the showers, began to wake up little by little. I thought it was strange that all the doors were closed. No one else was around. Silence was amazing. There were 40 people who lived on my hall after all. How could it be so quiet? As I walked back to my room, I wondered, well, maybe the rapture happened and I'm the only one left. It wouldn't surprise me. Then I looked at the clock. It was 2:30 a.m. I had woken up and must have thought it was morning, ready to start the day. Took that opportunity to stop and to pray for a little while. The strange experience sinking in, the silence, the darkness. I began to wonder what it would have been like to be a night watchman back in Jesus' day in ancient times, when there were no electric lights, no little lights from your computer or so on and so forth that make the darkness not so dark. No TV, nothing to distract the mind from itself during those long night hours. Darkness, quiet, totally alone. This experience is, I think, unfortunately, one that few of us have very often. Being totally disconnected from what we normally call reality. Feeling totally alone with our thoughts. When you get those moments of total silence, what's it like for you? There are a lot of people who have a real fear of silence. A fear of being alone with their thoughts, especially the younger generation. When I'm teaching couples for marriage preparation, I often try to teach them a few of the basics about prayer. And we take a few minutes for silent prayer. And most often, after just a few moments, you hear this shifting, moving, this restlessness. We're not used to silence. We're not comfortable being alone with our thoughts. We're not used to looking inward. Because there's this constant barrage of sounds and images and advertisements and so on and so forth that make our whole lives seem dependent on these external stimuli. It's as if we're being dissuaded at every moment from having a life on the inside, what spiritual writers often call an interior life. I'd like to say as clearly as I can that I firmly believe that we cannot appreciate Christmas as Christians without having an interior life. Christmas will be totally meaningless without it. We cannot appreciate Christmas as Christians without having at least some interior life. It will be meaningless without it. So what is an interior life? I think on a most basic level, we're talking at the very least about those interior workings of the mind and the will. A person who has an interior life has a real dialogue going on inside them, which goes beyond our desires, beyond I want, I gotta have, right? So there's at least that. But for us, we also mean that to have an interior life means to have a life with God. The interior life means cultivating the life of God within me. God is, after all, the source of all life, and He wants to be alive in us. Now, I'd say that it is very uncommon to find someone who's truly alive, fully, with God's life in them. But on the other hand, it is also very possible for each and every one of us to have this vibrant interior life. And how do we do that? First thing I'd say is that in our world today, to cultivate an interior life means saying no many, many, many times. No to the television. No to the newest game or distraction. No to the extras, the frivolities. Of course, these things aren't bad in themselves. But our culture is so far from having a healthy balance in this regard, I don't even think I need to try to argue the other side of the argument. If we never say no, there will be no room for an interior life. It will be overrun by all of these things from the outside. If you've ever come to Mass and knelt down to pray, and the first thing that pops into your mind is your thoughts about the upcoming game, or a scene from a movie that you watched the night before, or some goofy thing you read in your email that morning, or some stupid jingle from a TV ad you saw, you know what I'm talking about. We need to say no to open up that interior dialogue with the Lord. Obviously, once we've said no, then we have the opportunity to say yes. We've carved out an interior space. We've carved out time for real prayer. And let me be honest, a lot of prayer is waiting. That's a lot of what Advent is about. As St. Paul said, we wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wait. We keep watch. Because Jesus wants to show Himself to us. He wants to show who He is. Not through some movie or through some song or through some sermon. In prayer, He really wants to reveal Himself in our hearts, our deepest selves, in our interior life. And the reason is, St. Paul reminds us, that we are called to fellowship with Him. We are called to a real friendship with Jesus, to the sharing of our lives with Him. And in the end, we're called to let Him live His very life in us. That's real communion with God. As the letter to the Galatians says so well, the goal of this interior life: I live, no longer I, but Christ lives in me. This Advent season, as always, we are asked to prepare for the coming of Christ. We know that happens in three ways. One, we look back and celebrate that Christ came as a little child in a manger in Bethlehem. We also look forward to the promise that Christ will come again in glory. There's also the third way that we prepare for the coming of Christ. Because we live now in the reality that Christ comes to us day after day. He feeds us. He stokes the furnace of our hearts with His presence in prayer, in the sacraments, in our doing His will and service of others. See, Christmas is about that realization that God truly wanted to share His life with us. God became man so that we might become like God. Through His incarnation, we are invited to a real friendship, fellowship with Jesus. We cannot have that, however, until we create a space for Him in our lives, in our interior lives. My friends, I know all the excuses. I know and have used them, and they seem so convincing until we bring them to the light of an encounter with Jesus. We say, well, I'm not worthy for Him to come to me. Or we say, well, He understands. He knows all that's going on in my life, so many things that I need to take care of. He understands. Or we say, well, life seems to be cruising along fine right now. Why would I shake things up? I'll turn to Him when I really need it. Or we think, well, He can't possibly care that much about my little problems. Or perhaps we think, well, those times that I have had that silence, when I really tried to pray, I just encountered too much darkness, too much grief, too much guilt, too much fear, too much confusion. I can't go through that. These are the things we tell ourselves because we are so often deep down afraid of what a real interior life would be like. What a real dialogue and friendship with God would be like. We're afraid that He doesn't really love us. He doesn't really care about what matters to us. He doesn't really desire friendship with me. When we hear these excuses, more than ever, we need to take courage, watch, and wait for Jesus to reveal Himself. We need to face that uncomfortable silence of the interior life through persevering prayer. Now, a first step could very well be to go to confession. As Isaiah said, we are an unclean people, like polluted rags. And it does deeply sadden me that so many people are content to stay away from this beautiful sacrament. It'd be like living on top of a garbage heap and either becoming comfortable with that fact or just trying to ignore it. God wants to clear the garbage from our life. He wants to clean our house. He wants to forgive your sins. Make a good confession this Advent, and you'll be ready to go deeper in that interior life. Once you've received that great gift, His forgiveness, you may find it easier to face the silence of your thoughts and prayer. You may discover anew your real need and longing for a Savior in your life. You may find a trusted friend. You may find a new depth and meaning in Christmas. Silence, prayer, confession, the Eucharist, charity. These are all building blocks for an interior life, for that deepest friendship that you could ever know. This Advent, wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you are truly called to fellowship with Him.